This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The September 11th Memorial and Museum was dedicated today in New York City. President Obama was there, survivors, of course, and families of the victims. The memorial comes about 12 and a half years after the events of that day, and just about the same amount of time after the war that it helped start, not Iraq, but Afghanistan. Anand Gopal writes about the war in Afghanistan, our experiences there, and that of Afghans as well. It's in his new book called No Good Men Among the Living. Anand, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a line in here in the book. It's early on where you quote somebody as saying, you know, talking about Afghanistan starting in 2001 when the Americans showed up is a little bit like watching a movie from the middle. Doesn't make much sense.
Well, that's right. We tend to forget that this has been a country that's been at war for 35 years right now. We invaded in 2001, but at the point when we invaded, the country had already been at war for 20 years. So there's a lot of history that actually we need to go into to really understand the conflict.
We are paying, or have been paying, Americans have, in blood and treasure now for, 11-ish, 12-ish years. And yet you say we've done it wrong, basically. We blew it.
Well, that's right. We're right now paying for, I think, up to 350,000 people to fight the war on terror. And this is the Afghan army, the Afghan police, various militia commanders. And a lot of these militia commanders and warlords, if you look at their record, they're actually not that much better than the Taliban they replaced. And so this is the problem, because on the one hand, it's creating sort of support for the insurgency that's continuing. And on the other hand, also, it's draining resources, both from U.S. resources, because without us paying them, these guys are not going to continue fighting. And they're on the ground fighting basically in perpetuity.
How badly did we misjudge, in your opinion, the level of chaos, but also specifically corruption that we would find? I mean, and that goes from local police forces up to Hamid Karzai and his family.
Well, we misjudged it quite a bit, but we actually played a role in that corruption. There's actually a very interesting report by the Joint Chiefs of Staff that just came out highlighting the extent to which if you take billions upon billions of dollars and put it into a country that has very little capacity to actually absorb it, you actually create corruption on an unforeseen scale. And so if you talk to Afghans today, they'll say the last 10 years have been more corrupt than anything they've seen in the previous 20 or 30 years of fighting.
What's the answer then? I mean, is the answer simply to not spend any more money and see what happens, or is it to stay involved somehow?
Well, the question is how we spend the money. I mean, for example, today we have, for every dollar that we spend for the central government, we spend almost an equivalent amount in the periphery with rural warlords who are partnered with the CIA and special forces to fight against the Taliban. And what this has done is it's fragmented the state. So you have basically two centers of power. You have Kabul, where Hamid Karzai has been, and then you have the countryside, where all of these warlords are. And, you know, everybody who has weapons in Afghanistan should get their paycheck from the government. They shouldn't get their paycheck from independent sources. I think that would do a lot to cohere the state and make it something that actually looks like a normal state instead of looking like a state that is surrounded by warlords.
This is a story, as much as it's a story about the people of Afghanistan and the government of Afghanistan and the factionalism there. It's a story about the Afghan economy, right, and how it works or, more to the point, doesn't. Because if it functioned, then things would be a whole lot different and better probably.
Well, that's right. The Afghan economy is almost entirely reliant upon two sources, one of which is opium and the other which is foreign aid. There's almost very little domestic industry. The Afghan government isn't able to collect taxes. And so for the government's survival, it depends on foreign patronage.
Tell me about this title, No Good Men Among the Living.
It comes from a proverb that was said by one of the people in the book. And the full proverb is, there are no good men among the living, and there's no bad ones among the dead. And it means that, from his point of view, that there were no heroes or saviors in this war. You know, there were no good guys and bad guys. Really, for most Afghans, it was just a struggle of survival. They were caught between warlords on the one hand and the Taliban on the other. And they tried to do whatever they could to survive, including making deals with the devil in many cases, meaning joining the Taliban or joining the warlords.
It is a book called No Good Men Among the Living by Anand Gopal. Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.